WZRD Chicago. On the line, Frank Chapman, field organizer for the Chicago Alliance Against Racist and Political Repression. One of the two major groups that pushed through a historic change in policing in Chicago. Powering Communities for Public Safety is the title of the ordinance. ECPS is how often people refer to it. And that brought to power the Community Commission for Public Safety and Accountability and the implementation of district councils. It is historic. Can you tell us about where it's at right now? It's in growing pains, I understand, but making tremendous progress.
Well, the ordinance is law. We passed that into law on January the 21st, 2021. Now we are in the implementation phase. What the ordinance created was a elected body of citizens that would have to be voted into the police district councils every 4 years. So we had the first election this past February 28th, where in 22 police districts, we elected 3 people per district. So these 3 people cannot be police officers. If they are former police officers, they would have to have been off the force from 3 to 5 years to qualify to run. So this is strictly about the people in the community who live in the police district, about them having their voice and saying who polices their communities and how their community is the police. And so as an elected body, what they do, the people, the representatives in the 22 districts, they get together and they nominate a citywide commission or a community commission on public safety and accountability. This commission is citywide. It would be two representatives from the south side, 2 from the north side, and 2 from the west side. And what they will do is they will oversee all policing policies. Whatever policies the police have with respect to policing in our communities, the commission can look at those policies, can challenge those policies, and in some instances can out and out change them. So like we did with the gang database, we changed that. There's no gang database in Chicago. Also, the commission has the power to nominate who's going to be the superintendent of police in the city of Chicago. We can present 3 nominations to the mayor. The mayor has to pick from one of them. If the mayor don't want to pick none of the 3, then we have to go back and get and nominate some more people. But he cannot just pick who he wants to pick or who she wants to pick, whoever the mayor may be, he, she, or them. They cannot just pick who they want to pick. They have to pick from the pool nominated by the citywide commission. And so any policy, budget, anything concerning policing, this commission has a voice in it. So this is unprecedented in the history of the United States of North America. This has never happened before. And we're in uncharted territory. None of us have ever been here before, but we're excited about it. And we believe in democracy, and we believe in the people. We think that we can make this work.
And can you say a little bit about the history of what didn't work and what was behind the years of organizing?
Basically, what we've had in Chicago and what we still have in most of the country, we have a system of policing where the police themselves, if they do wrong, if they commit a crime, you know, they investigate themselves, and for the most part, they exonerate themselves if they're guilty, and in most cases, the investigation is so corrupted until we never get to a conclusion, you know, in a lot of cases. So this process has been corrupted for so long, over a century, until there was no hope of reforming it. So what we had to do and what we wanted to do was to create community control of the police. where it's not about reshuffling the cards. It's about having a situation where the community takes responsibility for seeing to it that the police are investigated for the crimes that they commit, for the things that they do, and also that they are investigated or challenged for what they don't do, you know, if they're not doing their job. This has to be a community control process because it's been so corrupted. And in fact, in a democratic society, the police are supposed to be under community control. Otherwise, you're going to end up with a police state. So Chicago has taken a great step in a positive direction in terms of creating the unalienable democratic rights of the people to say who polices their communities and how their communities are policed.
And some people would say that parts of the city lived under a police state from their direct experience, depending on who was there and who stayed there in spite of abuses they committed on the citizenry that they were there ostensibly on behalf of. Can you say something about the current status of funding that is necessary to implement this transition?
Yeah, I can. I can say right now the funding is totally inadequate. And the reason why that is because this ECPS ordinance was negotiated with a hostile administration. By hostile, I mean that the Mayor Lightfoot administration was not in favor of having any real accountability for the police. They definitely was not in favor of any kind of community control. So they fought us every line of the ordinance. They fought us all the way in terms of trying to make the ordinance as weak as they could possibly make it, and when they couldn't make it weak, to create stumbling blocks. And one of the major stumbling blocks, of course, is funding. So right now we are understaffed and underfinanced because, like I said, we won this ordinance under the House of Administration. The present administration is friendly to us, so we are confident that that this problem is going to be addressed, and in a short time, we will be having adequate funding, definitely more funding, and hopefully more staff.
So part of the problem, as I've learned over the course of years of supporting this campaign, is that the Fraternal Order of Police, not a union, but a brotherhood, a guild of policemen, has spent a lot of money and effort in defending policemen who have committed crimes, who have abused the citizenry, keeping them on the force rather than seeing them removed and benefiting the general overall attitude towards police in this city. Can you speak to the current situation about that?
Yeah, sure. The Fraternal Order of Police is against any kind of accountability as far as police is concerned. They want to continue to have a situation of police tyranny, particularly in black and brown communities. And so they are diametrically opposed to everything that we're doing with regard to community control of the police. So they want to try to undermine our efforts. And they tried this during the election process by running candidates to be elected to the district councils. Why would you want to be on a district council and you don't even believe in it? Well, the only reason why you would want to be there is to torpedo it, to stop it, to prevent it from doing its work. So we defeated them. We decisively defeated them as far as the district council elections go. We won a majority of the seats, and so we took the sting out of them with that one. Now what they're doing is that they're trying to use the union contract to take cases to arbitration that would be before the police board or before the Civilian Office of Police Accountability, so they can go behind closed doors, not be transparent, be where the public can't see them, and arbitrate their cases, especially serious cases, like involving the police shooting somebody or involving any kind of police abuse. They want to be able to arbitrate this behind closed doors and without without the public knowing what's going on. And so this is not only trying to cut back on the progress we've made, this is turning back the clock 100 years. So we are not going to allow that to happen.
What are you doing to ensure that?
Well, we're protesting and demonstrating as we always do to make sure that our demands are publicly known, to make sure that the people know exactly what the issues are and how we're joining the issues, and also to make our city council people know, make our city government know that they cannot allow this to happen.
Now, for the first time I'm aware of, my alderman, Deborah Silverstein, has published in her newsletter an announcement for the upcoming 25th District Council meeting. They meet once a month, and during the run-up to the District Council election, over several years when the community was advocating and organizing to get ECPS passed into law, she was mute and did nothing to educate her community about the benefits or disadvantages. She was just mute. I guess there are no disadvantages unless you're a cop who wants to continue to enjoy impunity. It seems to me that there's already been some impact from this last election and the presence of district councils. Can people contact their aldermen, contact the mayor? What are you suggesting people do?
Well, I suggest that they go to the district council meetings, particularly in your district. You know, go to your district council meetings and raise your issues there, particularly if it pertains to police conduct, misconduct, or whatever policing problems you have in terms of public safety. Raise those issues there. Give the commission an opportunity to function or to show you where it's at. Now, some of these district councils are controlled by the FOP. Those that are controlled by the FOP are not going to want to do anything. So it's very important that you go to those meetings. And Silverstein's ward, well, Silverstein, she's the ward leader, right?
Right, in the 50th, yes.
In the 50th. So that's one of several different wards in the police district. Usually the police district has several different wards. So find out what your police district is.
24th.
Okay, so those in the 24th police district, you need to attend those meetings. You need to raise with the leadership in the district, the people who have been elected in that district to represent you. You need to go to them and let them know how you want to be represented, what issues you want to be sent up to the citywide commission to be worked on.
Public safety is an unusual way of a new way of framing an aspect of policing consciousness. Can you speak to that and how that gets into an ordinance that governs policing?
Well, public safety means a lot of things. It means dealing with the crime in the community. I mean, making the people in the community safe from criminal infringement, and it also means keeping the police safe from. It is in those communities that the police are really outrageous in terms of the crimes that they commit, in terms of their disrespectful and unconstitutional conduct. So we don't see them as separate. We see police accountability and public safety as two sides of the same coin.
Now, will the commission eventually have or currently has the ability to shape training policies for the police and require retraining of policemen who abuse their authority when dealing with members of the community?
The commission has a voice in everything concerning policing. Everything.
Then lastly, there is a referendum scheduled as a part of this existing ordinance. Can you speak to the referendum and what that will change Or is it...
What the referendum will change is that it will make the existing commission an elected body. And that way, the mayor will have no authority to select who's going to be on the commission. Those people will be elected by the citizens of Chicago. It would also give the commission the authority to negotiate, to be at the negotiating table with regard to the police budget, and they have veto power. So it would extend the powers of the commission and in those particular ways, and it would also democratize the commission by making it a full-blown elected body. Right now, we are in a position to negotiate these concerns with the mayor. We may be able to get these changes made without a referendum. We may be able to get these changes made by just simply rewriting the ordinance. Or we may be able to get them made only by a referendum. In either case, the mayor is critical to this. If the mayor endorses our referendum, the possibilities of it passing the city council would be tremendous. If it passes the city council, it just simply goes on the ballot in the next election.
So this is a powerful advance in democratization of policing. I'm surprised, maybe you are too, at the lack of coverage in the press, both local and national.
Locally, on July the 21st, 2021, when this ordinance was first passed, just a little over a year after the George Floyd Rebellion, there wasn't hardly any national press that didn't take notice. We had, that was the USA Today, the Washington Post, the New York Times. A lot of national newspapers did acknowledge that we had been successful in passing an ordinance that was unprecedented in the history of the country. So there was that initial news break, a blast, if you will. After that, it was silent like the graveyard. So we're now coming around after over a year where we now have got this established, where we can now enforce it, and we're not getting as much publicity as we got when we first got it passed. I think that's going to change, because once we start implementing this and people in the community start playing a greater role, then that's going to change.
Will that change in part because of better funding once you're able to...
That'll be a part of it, but it's mainly going to change in part because of greater empowerment of the people. Which, greater funding is part of that, yes.
Anything further you want to communicate to listeners?
Well, I think at this point we've kind of almost exhausted the situation. I want the listeners to be very mindful about what's going on here with regard to public safety, and to remember that in the last Maryland elections, this was the number one issue. Paul Vallis was talking about law and order and public safety. And, of course, he was talking about it from the standpoint of maintaining police tyranny in our communities, and Brendan Johnson was talking about it from the standpoint of getting rid of that. And so we carry the day as far as the election is concerned. Now it's time for us to implement the programs and the policies that's going to make this real. And so we ask everybody to pay attention to what's going on and to insist that we get the rights that we deserve.
Thank you, Frank Chapman, Chicago Alliance Against Racist and Political Repression. This is WZRD Chicago.
Come, ye ranks of labor, come, Union Corps, and see if ye remember the struggles of before. When you were standing helpless on the outside of the door, and you started building links on the chain. When the police on the horses were waiting on demand, riding through the strike with a pistol in their hand, swinging at the skulls words of many a Union man as you build one more lane.
On the chain, as you build one more lane, on the chain.
Then the army of the fascists tried to put you on the run, but the army of the Union, they did what could be